Heartbeat on the High Line. I Know You. Written by Flower Parrish and read by Kaber. This is a Soulmate AU featuring the relationships between Clint Barton and Natasha Romanoff and Cassandra Cain / Natasha Romanoff. When Cass first meets Natasha, she has no concept of soulmates, nor no need of it. She does not speak, and so she would not be able to say the words etched on someone else's skin, even if she did know of their significance. Natasha is a creature of violence and death. She looks like an angel, spattered in bright sprays of blood, coolly comfortable with the brutality she deals out. And yet, there is something in her eyes, in her countenance, that Cass can read more easily than any words. Something exhausted, something begging to be set free from this endless cycle of cruelty. Cass cannot free her, but she does save her and hopes that it can be enough. Clint knows that he's still on probation, in practice if not on paper, and that it's in his best interest to follow what orders he's given. Target acquired, he whispers into the comm. He's too far away for her to hear him, but some edge of wrongness makes him keep quiet. She's in his crosshairs, but he feels like he's the one being hunted.
Take the shot,
says the cool voice on the other end of the comm. It is not a demand, imperious in the way the other handlers often are. Phil Coulson doesn't deal in petty power plays. He simply gets the job done, no matter the cost, and expects everyone he works with to do the same. He's the one handler that Clint almost trusts, but... She knows I'm here, he says. It's a risk, not simply following the order. He hasn't said no yet, but delaying it all is far from the expected, unhesitating compliance. There's a pause on the other end of the line. Clint's heart races in his chest. One beat, two, three, each quicker than the last as his fear ratchets up, and then...
You're certain?
Yes, Clint says immediately. He can't pinpoint how he knows, but he does. She's staying easily in view, giving him plenty of clear shots, and it just feels wrong. She wants me to take the shot. Another silence. Clint can't breathe with the tension of the moment stretching.
What do you propose, agent?
Clint breathes in, out, tries to calm his racing heart. I want to try to bring her in. He doesn't say, please, because every experience up until now has taught him that to beg is to show weakness, and weakness will always, always be turned against him. And yet the plea echoes beneath the words, reverberating through each one via the simple fact that he's spoken them at all.
Okay,
Coulson says. Clint's air rushes out of him in a whoosh, and he has to force himself not to gasp as he inhales again.
Don't make me regret this.
He doesn't say it like a threat. Instead, he says it in the same way a different kind of man might say,
Be careful.
I won't, Clint promises, and sets about proving it. Come with me, Clint says, hands empty at his sides, posture tense under the weight of her predatory gaze, but not trying to be threatening. Natasha's simple reply, why, has been etched into the skin across Clint's ribs since he was a child. The lines burn like a brand as her demand hangs in the air between them. Only an idiot would say,
Because you're my soulmate?
Clint knows better than anyone how that can go wrong. He doesn't say that he wants to help her. It's true, but he also knows better than most just how unbelievable that kind of freely offered kindness feels when you're in a situation like she is. Instead, he asks, "What do you have to lose?" She tenses, and it looks for a moment like she's going to bolt. Clint will let her, and Coulson will be disappointed but not angry, even though the disappointment might be worse. "Fine," she says, relaxing all at once as if her puppet strings have been cut. "For now." Her "for now" sounds like "don't make me regret this" should have sounded, if it had been what Coulson really meant when he said it. Clint and Natasha become a little codependent after that. They have separate living spaces, but half the time, they end up sprawled out in one bed together, limbs tangled, counting each other's breaths rather than bothering to try for sleep. Only the medics and people with truly high clearance levels know that they're soulmates. That doesn't stop most people from gossiping about whether or not they are, given how close they keep to one another. They don't have sex. They're not in love. Natasha says love is for children. Clint thinks that if he loved her any differently than he does, he might destroy them both with the fire of it, and he's not self-destructive enough to risk that. But they love each other, deeply, and that means that after a while, there are no secrets between them. Clint has other words, trailing down his left leg. Natasha has other words, scrawled across her right shoulder blade. They have other soulmates, but no guarantee of finding them. Natasha isn't sure she wants to find hers. Clint thinks that he got lucky with Nat, and he doesn't trust his luck to hold out for a second time, so he'd rather not, thank you very much. Unfortunately, he rarely gets what he wants. They get sent on a mission to Gotham, and once again, everything changes. The figure who jumps into Natasha's fight but lurks a few steps away, not forcing Natasha to accept their help whether she wants it or not, feels oddly familiar in some way that Natasha can't place. Then again, she's a little busy right now, so she ignores the strange feeling and focuses on finishing off these goons before they can get a hit in while she's distracted. Natasha takes down the last of them and then turns to face the figure. Black Bat. Natasha recognizes her from the file on Gotham's most famous vigilantes. "Well?" Natasha prompts. The woman lifts her mask enough to expose her mouth to the cool evening air. "Beautiful," she says, and Natasha feels the curl of her lips around the praise just as acutely as she feels the word being re-etched into her skin. "Oh," Natasha breathes, momentarily taken off guard. She hadn't thought. Then, Clint's urgent voice comes over the comm, requesting backup. Natasha straightens up, and she notices Black Bat doing the same. "With me," Black Bat offers, gesturing toward a motorcycle nearby. "It's faster." "Let's go," Natasha agrees, and she's pleased to see Black Bat's lips curl in a smile rather than a frown at Natasha's brusqueness. Clint nearly dies, but Black Bat and one of her brothers help get Natasha and Clint back to the Batcave, where they set about fixing up all of Clint's injuries to a standard that's probably superior to whatever care he'd receive in an overcrowded Gotham City emergency room at the moment. Her second soulmate introduces herself as Cass. She's a lovely woman with dark hair and eyes that are more expressive and animated than words could ever convey. Against her better judgment, against her principles, Natasha is a little bit enchanted. Cass's eyes narrow as she tracks the movement of one of her brothers over by a large array of computers and other technology that Natasha doesn't currently have any interest in poking through. Before she can ask what's wrong, though, another brother comes to get Natasha, telling her that Clint is awake and asking for her. Clint looks like shit when she enters the room, and that's only half the bandages, bruises, and sling. What's wrong? He grimaces. Red Robin. Natasha goes over the roster in her head, figuring out which one of Cass's brothers that is. He said my words. The brother acting weird is Clint's second soulmate. Of course he is. Natasha knows that Clint is terrified of having a connection like that with someone other than her. Based on the way he's reacting, it seems like Red Robin may have his own issues with the idea. It doesn't have to mean anything, she reminds Clint. I know, he says quietly. She almost wants to keep her own soulmate development a secret. Clint is dealing with enough right now. She doesn't want to add to his burdens. But she won't lie to him. Not ever. Not even by omission. So she takes a breath and says, Black Bat said mine. Clint's eyes widen, or they attempt to, although the one that is turning purple and swelling shut doesn't quite manage. Oh shit. I like her, Natasha says. Clint nods. Okay. This changes nothing about you and me, Natasha tells him. She can see that he doesn't fully believe her. She understands that, understands him. She will simply show him in time. Sitting down, she takes his free hand in hers and squeezes gently. Rest, she prompts. I will keep watch. Okay, he says again, and so she watches the rise and fall of his chest as he breathes. Deep into the night, Cass joins her, silently appearing and taking a seat next to Natasha. Natasha offers her a small smile. Is your brother all right? Cass shrugs. He will be. She turns her gaze to Clint. Is he? Natasha's answering grin is wry. He will be. Cass hums, a quiet, thoughtful note, and then stands up, vanishing briefly before returning with a thick blanket. Natasha doesn't often notice the cold, but it is a bit chilly down here, she realizes belatedly. Cass tucks the blanket around Natasha's shoulders and then settles down beside her once more, snuggling into the blanket next to her. The universe is full of soulmate pairs who are not good for each other, to each other, and whose matches only end in tragedy. But Natasha looks at Clint, and she looks at Cass, and she feels hope so warm and bright that she can be good for them, be good to them, and knows they will be good to her in return. The end.